Are you ready to receive the word today?
Amen.
All right, here comes the meat. Don't you like it when you go to a nice restaurant and you got all kinds of salads and appetizers? But when it's time for the main course, it's like, bring it on. Amen? But we're ready. Here we go. The meat of the word. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians is where we'll start today. Oh, Brother Lee, would you look for, there's a card that Terry did. The books of the Bible. It might be in that horse bag, or it might be in her possession. Oh, if you would ask her, do you know where it landed?
Well, we have a bunch out there on that.
We'll pass those out now.
Yeah.
Go grab them off the table, please,
blue,
literally. Blue cards. Yeah, before I forget, those of you that are reading through your Bible this year with us, we're doing a chapter a day, Monday through Friday. We take the weekend off. But we just, you know, we finished several books already. This is March. Can you believe it's March?
No.
And we've done Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. We just finished Romans. If you haven't been in there with us, just jump in starting this week. They've also got, Lee, do we also have any of the
yeah.
Bible markers, the book, read through the Bible book cards?
Yeah, they're back there too.
Yeah, we'll grab some of those too. If you need one, raise your hand real high. But I want everyone that's reading through your chapters, take one of these cards. Raise your hand if you're doing that Bible reading program with us. Raise your hand and the ushers will get you one of these. And this is, you know, for me, I like to mark off goals as I do them. There's something powerful about marking off as I get something done. It helps me get the next thing done. And so these are real helpful to you. And you can mark off, hey, today I finished the book of Genesis. Today I finished the book of Psalms. And mark it off. And then put the date out beside it. Hey, I finished this. And by the end of the year, hopefully you'll read through the whole Bible. Now, a real easy way to read through the whole Bible is 3 chapters a day, 5 on Sunday. Okay? It's real simple. You'll be through the entire Bible that way. Praise the Lord. I wanted to get these to you today. I didn't want to forget. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Commercial's over. Let's pray. Father, open our ears, open our spiritual eyes to see what you want us to see today. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 5. I'm going to read it in the King James. Read it slowly with me, please, and have your marker and pen ready, okay? That in everything, say everything.
Everything.
Ye are enriched.
Amen.
That's a pregnant pause.
Amen.
Ye are enriched. Yes, Lee, go ahead and bring those forward. Anybody else need a Bible reading program? Real quick, raise your hand high. If you want to read through the New Testament with us and you don't have one of these already, raise your hand real high. Get them to them real quick, Lee and Jack, and then we'll move into the Word here. Praise the Lord. Thank you, guys. In everything, let's read it out loud together. That in everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge. Is that a promise or is that a promise? Now, when God states a fact, he's not looking to you for opinion. Did you hear me? We need to read the Bible as fact. This is spiritual truth. It's not God's opinion, and he's not looking to you to agree with his opinion. He is stating something that is true of you now. This is not a promise of future. This is not a promise of you might be enriched, or someday you could possibly be enriched. This is a declaration of who you are in Christ Jesus. Now, I want to read it again. You follow me?
Yeah.
In everything ye are enriched. By who?
By him.
By who? Who's that talking about?
Jesus.
In all utterance and in all knowledge. Ye are enriched. I like to keep my sermons a little short these days so people remember. If you don't walk out with any other word but one word, walk out with that word. Enriched. Enriched. Who are you in Christ Jesus? You are enriched.
Amen.
Now, it goes on in detail later in the verse. It says, in all utterance and in all knowledge. You know, don't you love it when someone says things like, you know, attitude determines altitude. You know, the smarter you, the more you get wisdom, the more, you know, money will follow. When your pocketbook's hurting, you about want to kick somebody that says something like that, don't you? But I want to declare to you today, because in the Lord, we don't believe in any get-rich-quick schemes around here. But we know that when we believe the gospel, when we believe a declaration like 1 Corinthians 1:5 that says, ye are enriched, it begins with our utterance, It begins with you saying the same thing about your finances that God says about your finances. God says you are
enriched.
This is an open book test at this moment. God says you are
enriched.
And when you agree with your mouth with what God says about you,
amen,
that's when things begin to change. Ye
are
enriched in all utterance. That's a King James word that means what you say, your speech. And in all knowledge, what you know. Not so much here, but in here. Okay? And this is why the devil works feverishly to keep people out of two places. Church and the Bible. If he can keep you out of church or your Bible, you won't have the utterance. You won't have the words filling your mouth that God says about you. And you won't have the knowledge, the insight that you need to see things turn around in your finances. You say, are you really going to preach on money today, Scott? Oh, yeah. We're not quite there yet. Every now and then, we're going to hit it hard. Because why? God wants you. No, I'm going to back up. God has made you.
Yes, he has.
That's right.
Enriched.
Amen.
In Christ Jesus.
Amen. That's right.
Ye are enriched.
Amen.
In him. Listen, when you got born again, like it or not, you got born into royalty.
That's right.
Now, we would find it pretty exciting if somebody from out of the blue tomorrow came up to us and said, hey, I got great news for you. We found this document down at the, you know, the bank or wherever, and it says you are actually tied into royalty.
Amen.
And we'd go, cha-ching, lead the way. Where's the treasure chest? Where's my crown? Right? Well, I'm here to declare to you today, you have been born again into royalty in Christ Jesus.
Yes, amen.
Ye are enriched.
Amen.
You say, well, Scott, it doesn't say anything about money there. I know it. It says in utterance and knowledge. What you declare with your mouth, what you know in your heart, as you understand more and more who you are in Christ Jesus, will affect your pocketbook.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Say, really?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
And it's not a get-rich-quick scheme.
No.
It's more and more every day discovering him who is the cheerful giver of all.
Yes.
Learning how to give like him.
Yes.
Learning how to believe like him.
Yes.
When the check balance in the checkbook doesn't line up with what he's saying, and you still believe, that's called faith. So we're growing in faith. We're growing in understanding how good and generous our God, our Father, is. But you have been born into royalty. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. He's anointed me to preach good news to who? Who's the first class of people? He said, I've come to help.
The poor.
The poor. Well, I'm looking at a group of people here that are well clothed. I didn't see anybody drive up on their bicycle or a pony today. I know you got cars out in the parking lot. So I wouldn't exactly call us poor. But you know, in Adam, let me say this. This is a very, very thing that God's just been hammering in reality in my soul lately more and more. Sin left its mark in our life deeper than we can fathom. Did you know that? Whether you did or didn't get raised in a home where your parents had a poverty mindset, it doesn't matter. In Adam, sin left its mark. And poverty followed sin. Poverty followed sin. Poverty is part of the curse. And when Adam sinned, it was ingrained in man this sense of, I don't deserve better. Now, I'm not preaching entitlement today. I'm just helping you discover your identity. We're not about people of entitlement. People who feel entitled will grasp and grope and take from others in order to get this sense fulfilled in them. No, no, no. I'm helping you find your true identity in Jesus. And your identity is you're born into a royal family and you have been enriched in him. It's a fact. It's a spiritual fact, Brother Ross. It's a spiritual fact. The Word of God declares it here. And how does it manifest in your life in reality? Through your utterance, through your knowledge. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. I better move along here. I'll never get through these notes. 2 Peter 1 and verse 2. Look at this. This is a powerful verse. If you've never read it, I'm about to open your eyes to something really, really amazing here. 2 Peter, it's near the back, near Revelation. 2 Peter, it's a little book. Give me a minute to find it because I want everybody to see it. 2 Peter 1, 2. going to give you a lot of scripture today. Don't want you to walk out of here and say, well, Scott said. I want you to walk out of here and say, God said. Okay? 2 Peter 1, 2 says this. Grace and peace be what? If you're reading in the King James, I love it. Multiplied unto you. Through how? The knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. What I say a moment ago, God wants you to hear his voice through the word, through being in church. When you hear the word of God preached in a church service, you are hearing what God says about you. And through knowledge of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace is multiplied to you. Amen? That's what the scripture says right here. Grace and peace are multiplied unto you. Listen, you can have peace even when you look at your pocketbook and the bills are the numbers aren't just adding up. Okay? You can still have peace. Why? Because you understand in your heart what's been given to you through the knowledge of him. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. It may take a while to get it manifested in your bank account, okay? That's the thing we're limited by in this world, time. But it will manifest in Jesus' name, amen? Grace and peace are multiplied to you through the knowledge of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's read verse 3. According as his divine power. Say divine power. Some of you need a divine touch on your pocketbook. Some of you need divine power to touch your bank account. I'm telling you, it's here for you in Jesus. According to his divine power has what? Given. God has released unto you. He has given unto you the following things. Let's read it. All things that pertain unto what? Life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. The more you know, the more this will grow in your life. And today's just kind of the tip of the iceberg. I'm just here today to declare unto you one word, enriched.
Amen.
You have been enriched in Christ Jesus. You have been made overflowing. When you got born again, who knows? You may be in the spirit, you may be a millionaire, a billionaire in God's kingdom. You don't know. Maybe you're still discovering yet. Maybe me too. We took on a new identity when we got born again. I'm telling you, you're not who you were. You may have been tied into a middle-class family, a lower-income family. It doesn't matter what your natural family was tied into. When you got saved, when you accepted Jesus, your spirit came alive. You got born into a royal family. Your identity changed. Can you accept that?
Yes,
I am. Let me tell you this. If you can't accept that, you will only rise as high as what's been set as an example for you. You heard Tom Faircloth say it here a couple weeks ago, or a month or so ago, when he was here in the pulpit. His dad would make statements like, oh, our family can't afford that. Ouch. You could never drive that car, son, because we don't drive those kind of cars. Our family can't afford that. See, that's being tied into the natural, earthly bloodline, and ultimately it goes up to Adam. I should say down to Adam. When Adam sinned, you know, let me tell you, you have a higher family line right now that you've been tied into in Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
And you've been tied into him whose wealth is limitless, and the Bible declares to you and I, we have been enriched. Let me ask you this question. Why did Jesus have to be stripped naked at the cross? If this is a rhetorical question. Don't answer out loud, but think about it for a moment. Why did he have to lose even the very shirt off his back in order to be crucified for your sins? The answer is he didn't. He could have been crucified with at least a loincloth on. Right? And maybe some people were back then. I don't know exactly how the rules went with the crucifixions. But we know this. His atoning work at the cross not only dealt with our sin,
yes,
not only dealt with our sickness with the stripes on his back,
amen,
it dealt with our what? Our poverty. The curse of poverty. The curse of lack. Did you know that shame is associated with poverty?
Yes.
When you can't pay your bills, there's an element of shame. God never intended for his children to have shame in their life when it comes to finances.
Right.
God has higher for you. And this is why Jesus was, even the very garment that he wore, it was a seamless garment someone had woven for him, and it says they cast lots for his garment,
yes,
so they wouldn't have to tear it. That was even part of the atonement for you and I. Jesus literally lost the shirt off his back so you don't have to lose yours.
Amen.
I'll say it again. Jesus literally lost the shirt off his back so you don't have to lose yours.
Amen. That's right.
In a business deal, in your taxes, in your transactions. I was talking the other day about my car wreck. She's in the other room, I can say it. I was talking about my car wreck to somebody the other day, and I made the comment. I said, you know, man, the insurance really came out good for me on this deal. I mean, they paid me more than my car, you know, more than I thought I could get if I sold it myself. So, hey, I came out good. I just realized in that moment, God's blessing has been on us.
Yes.
Amen.
Listen, when the blessing of Jesus is on your life, I don't care what the enemy throws at you.
Amen.
You'll just come out ahead. Why? Because you have been enriched.
Yes.
In Christ Jesus. I'm telling you, I'm rich. Amen. In Christ Jesus. Like the cartoon says, I'm rich, I'm rich, I'm fabulously wealthy. You say, it may not have manifested yet, but just hang on. You are enriched in all utterance and knowledge. As you utter more, as you declare what God says about your finances more, as you understand more deeply who Jesus has made you to be, it will manifest.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And I'm telling you, there's going to be some millionaires raised up in this church.
Amen.
Maybe even a billionaire or two.
Amen.
Can your faith go that high? Why not? Who knows if one of you wasn't born into the kingdom as the Bible describes one of the ministry gifts as a giver.
Yes.
Did you know that? It's not all preachers. We need givers.
Amen.
But there's an actual anointing, a Holy Spirit gift in the book of Corinthians that describes there are people that have been given a gift of generosity for the kingdom purpose.
Amen.
And that may be one of you. One of you may be anointed as a millionaire, a billionaire. Let me give you an example. In Singapore, there was a lady. She was brought up essentially as an orphan. I forget her name. Something Lim. Jim may remember. I don't remember her first name, but fabulous story. She now goes to Joseph Prince's church. She's one of the, she's among the few billionaire, I think she's on her way to becoming a billionaire, but she became a millionaire, multimillionaire businesswoman there in Singapore. God gave her, as she got older, she got saved, and she started meditating on the word, and God opened up her understanding, her knowledge. She was enriched in all knowledge,
yes.
And she began a business that took salt water, and what do they call that? Thank you. Desalination plant. She began that kind of business that would take salt water and make it drinkable, make it potable. And now she's running this huge business in Singapore where they take the seawater and make it drinkable, make it usable for human consumption and so forth. Hey, why not you?
That's right.
I said, hey, why not you?
Amen.
Ye are enriched.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
See, we're discovering who He really made us to be. You may think you were born into a coal miner's family. You're supposed to be a coal miner like Dad and Grandpa. No, when you got born again, you got a new identity. I could preach on this all day. I'm only on the first page of my notes. That's dangerous. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Come a couple books back to your left. Ephesians 1. Here again, the King James is really good. Ephesians 1:3. Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. Say hath or has. Is that future tense, past tense, or present tense? What tense? Past tense. It's been done. When was it done? Say it real loud. At the cross. God hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. How many of you know the world we see around us began in the spirit realm? Did you know that?
Yes.
Don't minimize the spirit realm. The spirit realm is not an irrelevant, impotent realm. Gold coins began in the spirit realm. Did you know where they started? From God's mouth. God said, let there be. He created the earth. Amen. He formed the rivers. He formed everything that we see in the natural was formed first from what realm? The spirit realm.
Amen.
Everything began in the spirit realm.
That's right.
It later manifested. Okay. And gold, of course, has to incubate in the earth. I don't understand the whole process, but I know it's down there just kind of churning over, and diamonds the same way. They just need time, lots of time and heat and whatever else happens down there under the ground. I don't want to know. I just like it once it gets above ground. This one becomes usable to me. But God formed everything from the spirit realm first. So don't minimize. When you read a verse like Ephesians 1:3, it's easy to go, oh, well, He's blessed me with all those spiritual things. And in our mind, it's easy to go, not a whole lot of stuff or a whole lot of nothing. I mean, that's what your unbelieving brain will tell you. No, when He blessed you in the spiritual realm, folks, it will manifest in every way. He hath blessed us in the spiritual realm with how many?
All.
All, or every spiritual blessing Let's read it again. He hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. It's a couple books to your left there. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. Say, enriched.
Enriched.
I am enriched.
I'm enriched
in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 9, 8 says this. God is what? Able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, having all sufficiency in all things, you may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. This is describing you and I once we get money. We're not going to be greedy, are we?
No.
What do? We disperse to the poor, to every good work. Verse 10, now he that ministereth seed to the sower, that's God, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched, there's that word again, in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. Verse 12, for the administration of this service not only supplies the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. You want to create praise and worship in the earth? Give money to somebody in the kingdom. What will they do? They'll take that money. Hopefully they'll put it to good use. But also something will arise off their mouth, and it's called praise.
Yeah.
Thank God. Thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer. Thank you for answering my prayer. Thank you for meeting my need. And praise will arise to God from those that you distribute to. That's what this verse is saying here. As we are blessed by God, God is able. I like this idea. God is enabled through the cross to make all grace abound to you. Say enabled.
Enabled.
God has been enabled. You know how he was enabled? Because Jesus was willing to pay the price for your sin so that poverty would no longer be a part of your life. God has, the floodgates of heaven have been unlocked.
Amen.
Through Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus has made the way. He has paved the way for riches to come to you. Somebody's going to receive this as good news today. I don't know. Maybe there might be one or two amens in here. I'm going to say it again. The way has been enabled. The gates have been unlocked for wealth to come to your life in the kingdom. Exceedingly abundantly. I'm going to preach some of you wealthy in here.
Amen.
If you just want to get by, that's okay. I mean, I've gotten by in life. It's better than starving. But if you'll see it today, if you'll open your heart to the Word of God, I'm telling you, if you'll receive it and believe it and walk in it, God is about to enrich your life.
Glory.
As you hear the Word, as you believe it, and as you begin to utter it, as he utters it over your life. You have been enriched in all things. You have been enriched in Christ Jesus. Look back at chapter 8, verse 9. Just one chapter back. Chapter 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes... Did you know Jesus was rich before he came to the earth? I know he lived like Mother Teresa, in a sense, while he was here, right? We understand that. Jesus gave away everything. And like I said, at the cross, the last thing he did is give away the shirt off his back so that we could be enriched. But Jesus, the Bible says here, he started off how? Though he was rich. Before Jesus left heaven, he was awfully rich. Though he was rich, for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might be what?
Rich.
You know, there's some churches where they won't read that scripture, and the preacher won't read that verse because it just seems ludicrous. It seems, you know, like getting into greed or getting into materialism. I'm telling you, saints, this salvation of ours is greater than we've heard. You have been enriched by the cross of Jesus Christ. You have been made poor. Excuse me. He was made poor so that you could be made rich. Don't be afraid of that word. Because if your spirit's born again, you know how to handle money. Does anybody in here know how to handle money?
Yes.
Yeah. You can let money consume you? Not me.
Yeah.
How many of you know we do enjoy some of the fruit of it?
Yes.
The Bible says he gives us seed to sow, bread for food. Mm-hmm. Okay? So if you're a millionaire, you can drive a car that costs maybe better, you know, two, three, four times more than the average person's car. It's all relative, isn't it? I mean, I listen to Dave Ramsey all the time. He gives great advice to people. Hey, if you're making X amount of dollars per year, you don't buy a car that's half of your income. You don't buy a car that's, you know, more than you make in a year. That's craziness. But it's all relative.
That's right.
God wants to change our thinking. He wants to change some of our thinking. I said God is out to change our thinking.
Amen.
I want to read this verse to you. Deuteronomy. I've got so much here. It's definitely a two-parter. Just got to decide where we're going to land today. Deuteronomy chapter 3. Well, if you want, just like Batman, you want to see what happens at that moment when Batman's about to be pushed off the roof. To be continued. Come back next week. Don't you remember how they do that?
Yeah.
I mean, right at the climactic moment, it's like to be continued. No, Deuteronomy 3. Same bad time. Same bad channel. Same bad time. Deuteronomy 3:28. This is powerful. You got your pen ready?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to read it in the King James. Again, I like the King James rendering here. But charge Joshua, this is God talking to Moses, who wrote the book of Deuteronomy. And God is telling Moses something here. He says, Moses, charge Joshua. Who's Joshua to us? Do you know the name? It's the same name.
Jesus.
It's the same name. The Hebrew name Joshua is the name Jesus. Yeshua. It's Jehovah saves. Amen? Charge Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him. For why? He shall go over before this people and he shall what? He shall cause them to inherit the land which thou shalt see. I want to declare to you today, Joshua caused the Hebrew children to inherit. You ever read the book of Joshua?
That's right.
For us guys in here, like war movies. Any guys like war movies? A little bit of action, a couple of grenades going off. Read the book of Joshua. It's battle after battle after battle. And Joshua led the army in battle. Joshua led them in courage. Joshua led them in the instruction of the Lord, reminding them what the Lord had said about their promises. And the Bible says here that Joshua shall cause them to inherit. I'm here to declare to you today, Joshua has caused you to inherit.
Amen.
You're not waiting on a rich relative to die. Amen. Jesus on his cross has caused you to inherit.
Yes.
Joshua has caused them to inherit. Moses said Joshua will cause them to inherit. He will be the one that brings them into their promised land. Now, I don't know what your promised land is. Everybody's got a different promised land. That's why I don't like to talk dollar amounts. Okay? What may satisfy you as an annual income may not satisfy me, and vice versa. You know, God doesn't care. Whatever you're called to, that's what you should walk in.
Amen.
That's why I say there may be some entrepreneur in here, somebody that's going to be raised up. You may invent the next toilet. Did you know there's room for toilet improvements? No, I won't go off on that commercial. But I do like the toilets at Bucky's. I'll say they're just powerful. You better keep your dog on a strong leash when you're near that toilet at Bucky's, because that thing will... Anyways, you may invent the next who knows what. And then what are you going to do with all that money? Well, if you've been growing in the Lord, you've got your priorities straight, you know what to do with that money. You honor the Lord. And let's keep spreading this gospel. Amen. And let's pull some other people out of poverty.
Amen.
You know, it's a great day. I remember years ago when the Lord brought Terry and I to a point where we could not only go on a nice trip ourselves, but we could help pay for others.
Yes.
You know, could actually bring some guests along. And it was like, whoa, this is a first. I mean, pay somebody else's hotel room, pay for somebody else's meal at a restaurant. I'm telling you, folks, it's a glorious day when you start to realize God has blessed me to a point. I'm so much farther than where I was. I heard a minister a while back say, man, he had grown up in such poverty, and he had, you know, all they had eaten just about growing up was Hamburger Helper. And he got to a point when the Lord started blessing him, when he started understanding who he was in Christ Jesus, he said, there came a day when he said, no more Hamburger Helper. I will never eat another Hamburger Helper meal again. Now, there's nothing wrong with Hamburger Helper. My mom served that up a couple times when I was a kid. I kind of liked it. It tasted pretty good to me. But listen, I understand his heart. And God is going to take some of you past some places in life where you've been.
Amen. That's right.
You know, you had to buy your clothes here, you had to buy your cars here, you had to do this, you had to do that to cut corners, to cut pennies, you know, save pennies, to save money, etc. If you will hear it, if you will receive it, Joshua will cause you to inherit.
Amen.
That's right.
Not me, I'm just here to tell you about it. Jesus, because of his willingness to become poor for your sake, if you will receive it, he will enrich you beyond what you could wildly dream in this life.
Yes.
And it's for his glory.
Amen.
And it's for his purpose. And I'll tell you what, years ago I used to, I realized this, even in preaching about prosperity in the house of God, I realized this. To me, it's just a personal conviction. It's not even about, you know, I know we say this, God blesses me to be a blessing. Yes, that's true. But the number one reason God does it is because he loves us. Hey, if you love your kids, you're going to give to them.
That's right.
You ever heard the saying? You can give without loving. You can't love without giving.
That's right.
Amen.
Giving goes with love.
Amen.
And the number one reason why Jesus did this, is it says it right there. We just read it in 2 Corinthians 8. For your sake.
Amen.
For your sake.
That's right.
He became poor. He loves you that much.
That's right.
And again, I mean, I'm dwelling with people that... I didn't see anybody walk to church today. You know, our definition of poor is, you know, all varied. Everybody's got different definitions. But I want to tell you, in Adam, in the sin nature, in our ancestry, there is poverty rooted in us. And God wants to pull that junk out of you.
Yes. Amen.
He wants you to tip good at the restaurant.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Blow some people's minds. Mm-hmm. Give a $300 tip to a waitress sometime and see what it will do to open the door to the gospel. Change somebody's life forever.
Mm-hmm.
You say, is their soul worth $300?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
that
yeah.
And beyond.
Amen.
Try it. You'll have more joy than at Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not. You do it your way. I'm not telling you the dollar amount. I'm just saying. Blow somebody's mind. Why? Because in the world, there's poverty. People are tight with their money. They're not expecting unearned generosity. Unmerited, especially when they give you bad service in the restaurant.
Amen.
That'll really blow their mind.
Yeah.
God's going to take you places. One more verse of scripture. We need to finish with this. We're going to wind down with this. And we may start with this next week. Exodus. You're in Genesis, right? No, Deuteronomy. So just flip back a couple books to Exodus. Exodus 14. The reason the Lord's having me preach this is because we've got to go somewhere as a church.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And he's ramping us up.
Yes.
Okay, right now we have a nice comfy spot here, Nolan Ryan. But God's got more for us.
Amen.
We're going
Amen.
Places.
Yes.
Amen.
We're going to need to rise to his level.
Amen.
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 Are you willing to rise to his level?
Yes.
He said in his word, you have been enriched in all things. Will you rise? That's my question to you today.
Yes.
Will you allow the Lord to lift you?
Amen.
Just let him lift you. We sang about it earlier. You lift our weary head.
Yeah.
If you've known lack, if you've known poverty, if you've known the shame of not being able to pay your bills, etc., it's a bad feeling.
Mm-hmm.
When the money pressure comes off your shoulders, saints, there's so much more peace.
Yes.
And we're learning, aren't we? We're growing in this. It doesn't happen overnight, but we're growing, and I'm telling you. So the Lord has taken us there. Look at Exodus chapter 14, verse 13. This is Moses' words to the people after they came through the Red Sea. Fear ye not, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. I want you to underline this, highlight it. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. Did you know what's the greater part of poverty? To me, the worst part of poverty is the fear, the gnawing fear. And the enemy, even when you're doing well, even when your bills are paid and you're doing okay, you know what the enemy will try to bring you away? Fear about the future. I'm doing okay today, but what about tomorrow? What if things don't go so well tomorrow? No, he said here, the enemies you have known to this point in your life, you will see them again no more. I declare that over you. Poverty that you've known in your life, lack that you've known in your life to this point, you will see it again no more in Jesus.
Amen.
That's why you're here hearing this message today, because God is lifting you. Wherever you've been, kiss the past goodbye. He's lifting you beyond that experience. There's coming a day. You'll look back and you go, wow. I couldn't imagine this. But he's taking us there. You are enriched in him.